The Talk About podcast was designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. Recently, we've been focused on issues and topics that are associated with the United States. But we all know that the Black community expands far beyond the borders of the United States. And that's why on the upcoming season on Talk About with Ron, I want to take the podcast international and start talking to different members of the Black community that were not born and raised in the United States. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what are the challenges that you face as a Black person in your country. Now, whether it's good or bad, you know, economic or not, I want to understand your country, the Black community. We need to come together, and we should come together and understand each other. Because my experiences as a Black American or African American is not the same as yours. I've sat down and I've talked to different Black people from around the world and, you know, who live here in the United States from other countries. And the experience is totally different. I want to hear that. I want to share that experience with other Black people. You know, my experiences you've learned from me, and I have international listeners. And I want to invite you to come onto my show and talk to me and tell the world about your country. Represent your country. Represent where you're from. Tell everybody what they should know about your country. I want to open those doors up to everybody because, like I said earlier, the Black community extends far beyond the boundaries of the United States border. I want to talk to all of you. I want to hear your experience. I want to share your experiences, and you can be an ambassador for your country and tell everybody what they should know about your country, you, how you're raised, your culture, your experiences, your view in life, everything. If you would like to come on the podcast and discuss your country and where you're from, there's a link down below. You can go onto my show and register as a guest. You can contact me directly on Facebook. It's the Ron Frazier Sr. You can go to my website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com. And you can have access to send me a message directly, or you can register as a guest, fill out the registration form, and I will contact you. This invitation also goes out to people who live in the United States that are from other countries, that were born and raised in other countries. So don't think that just because you live in the United States that you can't come on and be a part of this experience. I know that there are many people in the United States who were just moved here in the last 5-10 years and who have extensive experience in their country where you come from. So this invite goes to everyone that were not born and raised in the United States. So I invite you all to come be a part of the Talk About with the Ron Black Experience World Tour. Welcome back to Talk About, a podcast designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. And I am your host, Theron Frazier. Before we get started with this week's episode, I would like to share some information with you guys. We now have a website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com, where you can go there and support the show by using one of our affiliate links. There are several links there, one for Amazon, one for Fiverr, and one for Instacart. We also have a Patreon page where you can go and donate, and if you have a business, you can actually have a tier where we can promote your business on our Patreon page. Just go to www.talkaboutwiththeron.com and go to become a member. You can also subscribe there and leave your email address, and you will get the latest updates on the podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Talk About with Theron. I'm your host, Theron Frazier. So, happy Juneteenth. Happy 4th of July. I want to say thank you for listening. And we're back again this week with different She's going to be talking about her struggles and how she made it through depression, how what motivated her to get through suicidal thoughts. We're going to be talking about suicide in this particular episode. We're going to be talking about how you can manage and get through it and things that you can do to help yourself. She's a very knowledgeable, experienced woman. She's very well-versed, well-traveled. And as you heard from episode one, she has a lot of things going on for herself. So we're going to be back again this week with different. We're also going to be talking about a follow-up from my previous episode of Black Women and Mental Health. There were some tragic things that happened since then, and we're going to be talking about it on this particular episode. So again, thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Deron Frazier, and this is going to be different part two. And a follow-up I haven't did a follow-up on that story, but I do know, you know, some stuff that has happened since then. And what really, and you just hit a point, you hit an awesome point, because it's going to lead me into what I'm about to say. People would judge that and say, oh, it's a long thought out process, or I'll never do that.
You never know, man. You just never know.
What I'm about to tell you will let you know that suicide can affect anybody, mm-hmm. anybody, no matter what your profession is, no matter how much money you got, no matter what kind of lifestyle you're living, it can affect anybody. You know that just from the celebrities that them killed.
Oh, yeah.
But the facility that this young lady went to, one of the therapists that she was seeing for that ended up committing suicide. And they're in a position where they help other people deal with this.
Yeah.
And that's what's really heartbroken. Because she was heartbroken when she found out what happened. But if someone's who work in this field, who deal with this every day, who talk people off the ledge, who talk to people about dealing with how to deal with this emotion, if someone like that end up doing it, you can't say what you would never do.
Yeah.
You can't say that won't never happen to me, because it happened to this person, and that's their life profession. So like you said, think about who you're going to be affecting, mm-hmm. who you're going to be impacting if you're doing this. You talk yourself down, you know, believe in a higher power, you know, whatever your religion is. But, you know, think about that.
Even if you don't believe in higher power, believe in your damn self, man. Find purpose in yourself. Yeah. Find reasons to live, man. Reasons to go on. You have value to yourself. You matter. So even if it's not a higher power you believe in yourself.
Right.
That should be enough. Right. You worth it. You're worthy.
So you said that one of the things you guys talk about is the historical part of like racism and stuff. Mm-hmm. I got a question.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Because this has been a big debate across the country, and in some states they've banned it, some states they haven't. But teaching critical race theory.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew it. Well, first of all, let me hear your thoughts on it. What is it that you think about it? Let me tell you mine. I like to hear yours first. Tell me yours.
I did a whole podcast on it. My thought.
Well, give me the short answer.
My short answer, yeah. It should be taught. It should be. I mean, you can't deny. What my problem is that in this country, they try to change history mm-hmm. from what it really was, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't talk about some things that happened in history and try not to talk about other things that happened. It's history.
Exactly.
It's what this country was built on. It is how we get to where we are today. So you just can't say, oh, we don't want to talk about that. Oh, yes, we are. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to say that you're making us feel guilty for something our ancestors did, or we wasn't there.
Here's my thought on it. You, I agree with you. I concur on that. But like, just like how they feel about, you know, here's how I went through high school. If we wasn't allowed to say prayer in high school, I didn't say the Pledge of Allegiance. That's just how I felt about it. And I don't care if people call me unpatriotic or whatever. I never said the Pledge of Allegiance because we were not allowed to say prayer in high school. They stopped doing that by the time I got to ninth grade now. And so I felt and this is well with the Pledge of Allegiance, if they're not going to say prayer, then why can't have the Pledge of Allegiance as well in schools? And so tagging on with your critical race and putting that in as well, I do feel that that should be taught in the schools. But if they're not going to teach critical race, then take out Pledge of a Damn Allegiance. Because then,
right.
So if that makes sense, if that's my outtake on it. Don't preach one and not the other. So like you're saying, you can't pick and choose. Put it all in. Let's put back,
right.
If you want to, you know, keep the Pledge of Allegiance in schools, then put back prayers in school. Teach the critical race theories. They're also, I know they're hearing talks about teaching about same sex in the classrooms with that. Now, that part, I think that needs to be taught and discussed at home, because you just never know how people, people are raising their children, and they have their right to raise them the way that they want. And so with that, right. I think just because that's sexual nature, that needs to be taught by the parents. Now, race, right. you can't hide your race, but with sexuality, that can be, you know, hidden. Not saying it should, but you can't hide your skin right. color, but you can hide, you know, your sexual preference, if you will. So that's why I say, you know, critical race, it should be talked about, because you can't hide that. But with sexual,
and it's the history of the country.
Yeah, and with sexual, that's the parents need to talk with them about that.
The bottom line when it comes to sexual is biology part, you know. Everything else outside of biology, physical biology, when it comes to gender, physically, you're born one or two ways. Okay. That's it. Anything outside of that, like you said, should be taught at home.
Yeah.
You know, that's
I think if I can remember back, that's how they did it in high school. They just talked about like the sexual reproduction, the male, the female. They never really talked about sexual orientations and things like that.
Right. And that's what I remember in high school. And that's how we came up. I just think that it's going far. Like you said, that's something that need to be taught at home. Critical race theory is, you know, I think it's history of the country is basically, I feel like it's denying or trying to just whitewash what happened in history and not talk about it anymore. But
yep, which is exactly why I wrote this book, to help them never forget. Yeah, you know, definitely. So that's exactly why, you know, I'm reaching out to my people, our people, you know, the Black culture, to, you know, remind them and to not try to erase our history and make us accept what they want us to accept. You know, this is what
right.
And so with, again, going back to my book, what if, you know, asking those questions, what if this happened to your people instead of ours? How would you feel? You know, that's what it brings it back to. And so unfortunately, when we have to go to another, you know, protest over the death of an unarmed, innocent Black person, hold these illustrations up and show them. Ask them the questions there. What if this was your son, your daughter, that was shot and killed by a police officer? Would you be out here, you know, stomping out, you know, trying to have your voice being heard, speaking for your child, although the media is painting them out to be a thug? Oh, they should have complied. Oh, he was running away. He was doing this. Whatever the case, you don't even know this person. But automatically, the victim is the criminal.
Right. And they do that so often with our kids. Well, yeah. I got three teenage boys. And matter of fact, they 18 and 2 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to them a lot because, you know, they're driving now. They're out with their friends and they're out different times of the day. I can't be with them all the time like I used to. So I have that type of conversation with them. Mm-hmm. But just like they're killing Black men, police are killing Black men. How do you feel about the fact that you have unarmed Black men being killed for minor infractions?
But yeah, you got these white folks going up in grocery stores, shooting up and killing people, still safely being, you know, obtained without any casualties.
He just killed people.
And so, yeah, that's why I wrote the book. What if, you know, why is it okay for it to happen to this group of people, but not this, you know, other group? Why is it justified? And so, slowly but surely, you know, I have a good feeling about this, that it will, you know, it'll make some people think.
How do we get past it? I mean, it's not even a matter of how do we get past that. It's more so of
having those conversations, basically accepting and acknowledging accountability. That's basically what it all revolves back to, you know. And for some people, you know, you got to make them see what you see. And with this book, that's what it does. It holds the mirror to their face. It asks the questions. What if this was your people instead of ours? Basically, let me just get a little off tangent with this and say to note to the critics, for those out there who would say, you know, when they read this book, oh, this book is used, it can be used as a tool, you know, for the Black community to uprise against the white community, you know, no, it's not. Stop that BS. This book is simply meant to make you think about, you know, thought-provoking conversations such as injustice and systemic racism in America. You know, one thing I've learned from number 45 is, you know, you go where you celebrate it, not where you tolerate it. So although a lot of people are not going to like this book, I'm going to go where, you know, I know they're going to feel me. With this president, you know, he had, what was that, 75 million people, that's 25% of the adult population in America, still condoning and riding for him even after this man, you know, it has incited or insurrected, you know, an insurrection, if you will, and, you know, refused to, you know, leave the White House peacefully and been impeached. After all of this, people are still riding for him. And so that right there in itself taught me, no matter what you do, what you out there pitching to the public, it's always going to be somebody out there selling what you're buying. They're going to ride for you no matter what. So you go where you celebrate it, not where you tolerate it. Don't worry about what the naysayers have to say. The people that have common sense and that are mature enough to understand, you know, the gist of the book and get the point, especially when they read hypothetical, they will see this is not a tool that's meant to, you know, incite any type of violence or encourage any type of animosity between any groups or anybody. This is simply meant to have make you think, to share your opinions so that we can have the conversations that need to be had. Even if it goes nowhere fast to run, nothing beats a failure but a try. So at least I've tried. But that's a lie. This book is going to take off and it's going to ring the world's bell because I've manifested for it and I'm planning and prepared for it. And so, you know, for that to happen, you know, people got to read about it and tell their peoples about it and share, you know, their reviews about it. And so definitely, again, go to my website, differenceworld.net, and get your copy of my book, What If? A Controversial Paradigm Shift. And again, also be informed that it does come with a disclaimer. It's intended for a mature audience only. And so if you can't take this type of heat, then don't bother coming to this kitchen. Because it's like I said, it's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to make you think. Like I said, at Third Eye, we educate, motivate, and entertain all at once. And this book will definitely educate, it will inspire, and it will entertain you. One out of three, it'll get you. And like I said, if the questions don't get you, then the illustrations definitely will.
You familiar with Jane Elliott?
I am. She does the Blue Eye the Project.
Yeah, the Brown Eye, Blue Eye Project. What are your thoughts on that?
Because
people, what are your thoughts on that? Because
we need more people like her in America. Yeah. We need more like her.
It sounds like she put them in a situation similar to what you're doing with your book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make them see things from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put yourself in a situation, you got brown eyes. Now you're the Black person and you have to deal with all this racist stuff that's going on with you. How do you feel now? And that sounds like what you've done with your book.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly the same, but, you know, you're giving it a different view,
yeah,
of what if these are your people who've done like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't even put them in a position to say, what is different? You in this issue? It's, what if this was your history?
And yes, right? The wild, crazy thing about this is, although this is, you know, a paradigm shift, it's fiction, nonfiction, it's because, you know, these are actual events that have occurred. These are historical events. These are true events that have occurred in the Black community and even actual deaths that have occurred in the you know, African-American community. And so nothing in the book that I'm saying is, you know, false. All I've done my research. I've actually have references to each one of the paradigms. So when you read it and at the back of the book, I have, you know, the references and citations that those who want to do the fact checking and, you know, the little trolls, they can go and check and do their own research if they like. That's what it's there for. And so nothing in this book, like I said, it's not a lie. I'm not telling a lie. This is the truth. It's just a race role reversal. It's just a what if. It's, you know, the roles have been reversed now. And so it's my hope and prayer that people out there that's listening, they go and get the book and, you know, share their comments with it, you know, their friends and their families. Definitely hit me up. Again, go to my website, differenceworld.net. You can find all my social media handles, my YouTube channel. Please subscribe there. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You guys can follow me there. What else you got going on? You got any more questions for me? Like I said, I feel like I talk too much.
I got a couple more.
Okay, yeah.
This one's more of a, well, it's a question. You talked about your childhood growing up and everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, homeless and wild. You did go through a lot, but it made you who you are today.
Mm-hmm. The alpha female so, I am today. Yes, sir.
I know it was rough, but do you think your life would have been different had you not went through what you went through?
Yeah, I think I would have became a statistic, if you will. You know, pregnant, a teenage mom, drop out. I think I would have been just that. And had I not, that's where I had to, you know, pro-con it, whether if I was going to stay in or go back to where I was. If I would have went back to my environment, I wouldn't have seen myself graduating. I would have been a teenage mom. And I'm not looking down on any of the teenage moms out there. I'm not putting them down. But I'm pretty sure anybody that's a teenage parent or was a teenage parent, they would tell you they wish they would have waited. But I'm glad I didn't end up that way. I had so many people telling me, oh, you're going to have a baby by the time you're 16. Girl, you ain't even going to graduate. Watch, you're going to be on housing. You're going to be on this and that. And me being a Sagittarius that I am and just having to prove, I love proving people wrong. That was, you know, God's way of showing me, here's your way to prove them wrong. And it also showed me, because this was my first time seeing, as crazy as it sounds, I actually was placed in nice foster homes, really nice houses in nice parts of Houston. But for me, like I said, I felt it was too good to be true. And so I would squander those situations. I would get kicked out and mess them up. But what I've learned from those, from each one of those, was that I actually had all Black foster parents. Each one of my foster parents were Black, and they had nice houses. And what made me think, you know, dang, why they had this is because they had that degree. They had went to college and went to work, and they had nice jobs, and they had a good job, and they could pay for things. And so that's what it also showed me, that if I went to college and got a degree, you know, I would be able to survive in the real world. I would be able to have a steady income. I wouldn't have to live pillow to post, paycheck to paycheck, like how I was coming up in my environment. That's also, you know, why I stayed in, you know, CPS and went through, you know, that hell on earth there, is because, you know, I seen the forest through the trees, if you will. I seen the good out, the bigger picture, if you will, of me going to school and the opportunity to bring, and look at me now. And, you know, and I'm just getting started. I'm only, you know, just now touching my 30s. Imagine where I'm going to be in 10 years, you know.
Right.
So even with my YouTube channel, man, people are already starting to learn about me all over the world. In Sri Lanka, they already know who I am. And so it starts just like that. Anybody out there, like I say, you got dreams, you got goals, you feel like you're destined to live that good life. You're tired of looking at all them celebrities on Instagram and seeing how they live, and you feeling like that's supposed to be you, then it's time for you to go and get that. I often tell people, you either trying to have that come up like Cardi B or that comeback like Robert D. There is no more in between. You know, with this pandemic, it's taught us all that, you know, life is not promised tomorrow. And so you got to go out there and get yours, you know. And so they come up for their comeback. It's time to get rich during the pandemic or die trying. But for me, the way I would say for anybody out there, make sure you do something that is that you love and that you're passionate about, and then the money will come to you later. Find something that you love and your element, and you stick to it, and you grow with it, and you go with it, and then the money will come to you. So don't just get into something thinking, oh, this going to make me the most money here and there. I'm about the money. No, do something you love, that you're truly passionate about, mm-hmm. something that makes you truly happy, something that doesn't even feel like it's work. And you stick with that and you run with that. And I guarantee you, you have to give yourself time as well. That's what I've noticed too. At least 2 to 3 years for your when you plant your seeds, you have to give it time to grow. So, and nurture it. And so give yourself time. So once you find your element and you stick with it and you go with it, you make sure, you know, over time you will see your fruits of your labor will come. And so just stick with it, and then the money will come to you later. I've seen it. So that's why I'm able to tell people. And I'm practicing what I'm preaching. Like I said, right now I'm planting seeds, and I'm seeing them grow already. it's only been just a little over a year, and I'm already seeing the difference. And so imagine what it's going to be like for me next year. You know, people all over the world, you know, this book, people are going to hear about it by then. And so just, I got
right.
Just keep going and keep going. And that's what it is.
And I ask that because people go through different things in their lifetime and you take different paths from other people. No matter who's out there and what you're going through, just know that mm-hmm. that's your path you're taking. And you go through stuff and you learn from stuff. What doesn't kill you make you better.
Amen.
Okay. What doesn't destroy you make you better, and you can build off what you go through in your life. And it forms you to be the person that you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So what you went through in your life, that builds you to be where you are now. Mm-hmm. What I went through in my life, that made me the person I am now. So sometimes you have to weather the storm to get to where you want to be. So be strong. And no matter what you're going through, be strong and you will get to where you're trying to be. Just be strong and keep pushing through.
Amen. And I want to tag on to that again, reverting back to, you know, the mental health and not just with the Black community, but I'm talking to everybody out there listening, you know, just again, know that it's okay to not be okay, but don't you dare sit there and not be okay. Go get help. Go fix those issues that you got going on in your mind that's plaguing you, keeping you up at night, got you taking your anger out on others, such as your loved ones and your children or your coworkers and your friends. Go fix those issues. Go take back your power, be it talking with the mental, with a therapist, a paying therapist, or a family member, a friend, picking up a hobby, like I said, mending those broken bridges or cutting those people off who mean you no well in life. Do whatever it is that you have to do to free yourself from that mental bondage, because I tell you, that's the only way that you're going to be able to fulfill your destinies. Of course, you're going to have setbacks. There's going to be trials and tribulations no matter what. But once you get a hold of yourself and get control of those mental reins and get just a little inkling of how to handle and how to deal with it, I guarantee you it will get better for you. And again, for anybody out there that's feeling suicidal or know anybody that's feeling that way, please know it is not the way. Again, if you need to call somebody anonymously and you living in America, in the USA, call this number right now, 1-800-273-8255. That's a crisis hotline. They don't know you. You don't know them. So as far as it goes of people knowing your business, they won't necessarily know you. So you can still talk with somebody, even if you don't want them to know who you are. You can talk with somebody. Don't let that be your excuse as to why you don't get your mental health in order and in check. Okay? Know this. Although whatever it is that you went through, it may have not been your control. It may have not been your fault, but it is your problem to deal with. And even if it's some of those who got sense enough to know that they have issues, they have problems that they need to go fix, and they don't want to do anything about it, but just sit there and let it be, then it is your fault. Then you deserve what you're going through. I hate to sound rough. I hate to sound, you know, so callous and cold. But like I said, I'm a realist, and I just try to tell it how it is. Sometimes when you know that it's issues that you want to need to have fixed and you don't want to do anything about it, you're being complacent about it, are you comfortable in that situation, then it is your fault. You are part of the problem. You have control of that situation. You don't want to do anything about it. So don't go crying, complaining, woe is me, when you know is you have an issue and you have resources that are available to you to get those issues resolved and you don't want to take it. That is your absolutely your fault. So hear that. There's a lot of people out there that play that victim role and woe me and why I can't do this and that. It's because you don't want to accept the truth. Like I said, with the spirit of discernment, it shows you the truth whether you like it or not. And you have to, you don't have to, but that's what it comes with being spiritually mature and in tune, being able to accept things that you're not ready for, you don't want, but knowing and understanding and trusting God's will is bigger and better than you have planned for yourself. That's on that part. Just tagging off of what you said with the mental health and how I was able to conquer and get through what it is that I've been through and what I'm going through. I'm not a perfect person. I'm going through some things right now. Dealing with the loss of my mother is the most hardest thing thus far I've had to deal with in my life. It is the hardest, man. And I know I'm not the only person out there that's lost their mother, but my mama was my best friend. That was my only friend. For me, I've always been a person that likes to stay to myself, so I don't really have a lot of friends like that. But my mother was my ace boom coon. And when she left, It's like, I got friends, but it ain't nobody like her. It ain't gonna never be nobody like her ever again. And I have to accept and understand that this is the way it is. And every December 26th comes around, it's just gonna be the day after Christmas for y'all. But for me, it's gonna be the hardest day on this earth. I'm just trying to prepare myself and come up with positive and healthy ways to grieve and healthy, you know, notions and tools to deal with for the rest of my life, because it's something I have to deal with for the rest of my life. And one day I'm fine, and the next minute, you know, I'm not. And so that's just what depression is. That sometimes, like I said, I'm not saying I'm suicidal right now, but I can see how that leads to suicide and going off the deep end. You know, one day I can just be talking or being okay, and then the next day I think about my mom, or, you know, a little memory pops up on my Google photos, and, you know, that's it. I'm just depressed for the rest of the day. And so that's how it happens. That's how it starts. So that's why, you know, anybody that's going through any type of mental anguish, it's important to have a plan of action, you know, to stay on a healthy, you know, roster and not going off the deep end. You know, even if that means getting on medication, you know, do it. You know, that's what it takes. Don't be ashamed, man, because understand, you know, once you take that step, there's no going back. And, you know, especially if you got kids and you got people here that love you, like your parents and your siblings, aunts and uncles and your friends and, you know, coworkers, you know, you got to think about them. You know, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary situation. And, you know,
right,
you just have to look at it like that. And knowing that the last part of that sentence was temporary situation, emphasis on the temporary situation, which means it does not last long. This too shall pass. That's what you have to tell yourself when you in those moments and you feeling down and out and everything is not worth living for. You have to tell yourself, this too shall pass. That's what gets me through it, if you will. That's what helps me. And so hopefully, you know, somebody out there that's listening to me, not even, you know, right now, but maybe years down the road, they look back and looking at your podcast and they looking over it. And it's like, wow, you know, this really helps me, man. And it just may save their life. And so that's why I'm sharing my story. That's why I'm sharing and telling my testimony, you know, bump that notion of, you know, whatever I went through. What goes on in this house stays in this house. Some of this stuff, I'm going to let out this house because I know it's going to help other people in their houses. You know what I mean?
Right. I was 32 when my dad passed. And I can tell you, it gets a little better over time. But you never forget. You know, you never forget your parent. So, but over time, it get better. What you can do.
Somebody told me that pain never goes away. You learn how to deal with it, I guess.
I would suggest something like, especially being that it's so close to the holidays, just find your own little tradition that you can do.
Yeah, that's what somebody else told me to do. Like I don't know what to do.
It can be something as simple as writing a letter and read it in the next year, wrapping a gift for her because it's holiday, or taking flowers to her grave, or just something that. It could be something that y'all did together that y'all used to like together that you can just, you know, I'm going to make this a tradition. I'm just going to go do it, take her picture and y'all do it, still do it. I mean, it's just something that you feel like is going to help you. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that's going to help you feel like will help you feel better about, you know, on that day.
I ain't going to lie. I feel like I want to make a shrine for her. Like, I'm already in the process of having the decal stickers and stuff on the wall. So I'm making that for her. And I think one of my friends, they're going to have them do like a portrait of her, like a painting. So, there's something like that. Immortalizer.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I hate to see when people take the day that someone passed and just every year they go into this deep depression. On that day, try to do something different, opposite, you know, celebrate her life, celebrate that person's life, and don't let them be forgot. You know, you're not dead until no one else say your name again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Once somebody stops saying your name, then you're truly forgotten. If I don't know if people heard that before, but once your name is completely stopped being said, that means that you're no longer in anyone's thoughts. So you remember your mom. Mm-hmm. found a tradition on her birthday or the day of her passing that you can do every year. And I think it should be the day of her passing since it's so close to the holidays. That used to be such a happy day for you that doesn't turn into something totally different. Mm-hmm. Do something that's going to help you and her. I got one more question.
All righty.
I had two, but I got one more
question. I got another chapter too.
Okay. You talk about systemic racism. What are your thoughts on systemic racism? We talked about mental health. We talked about racism itself, or systemic racism. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm going to think about it before I just blat out something. I hate to say it. It's one of those, it's not natural, but normal type of things. It's to the point to where, you know, I'm used to it, man. I grew up in the deep South in Texas. And so I'm used to experiencing, you know, racism. You know, at times, you know, when I call the police and I need them, you know, and they come, they finally come 45 minutes later, you know, I may be possibly treated like the criminal or like I'm in the wrong, and I call them. So that's how it is sometimes out here. But that just goes back to my book, and that's the reason why I wrote the book. To, you know, push that envelope to talk about these issues about systemic racism and injustice, and hopefully have those thought-provoking conversations that need to be had. And ultimately, when we have these conversations and talk about these issues and take accountability and talk about in ways and suggestions that we can combat that, then that's, you know, over time, to me, that's where systemic change can take place. And over time, that systemic change I don't think it will completely, you know, erase it, but it will help, you know, neutral it out. You know, maybe not for this generation, but what if the next one or the next one? And so this is my shot at the moon, you know, trying to help, if you will, push that envelope to end systemic racism or make it better to where, you know, to the point to where my nephew, who is a 10-year-old Black kid who is also on the spectrum, doesn't have to grow up in fear. You know, the other day, it's funny that you tell me you have three black kids, Black boys. I have my nephew that I helped take care of, and, you know, we were walking by and the police came and he just automatically put his hands in the air, and I told him, stop that, put your hands down. You know, you don't have to act unless right. You did anything wrong. You don't act like you did anything wrong. And it's said that we have to, you know, teach our young boys how to conduct themselves when the law comes around, even if they haven't done anything wrong. You know, they have to act as, you know, extra, make sure they're on their P's and Q's when they're around. And that's sad to say, but this is the reason why I have the book, so that we can push that, you know, that envelope to have that conversation as to why we got to now train our Black boys to be on their P's and Q's when, you know, the police officers arrive, by, you know, teaching them, making sure, you know, don't sag your pants or don't wear no hoodie, you know, to here, there. And that's unfortunate, but that's just the way of the world that we're living in. So to answer your question about systemic racism, it sucks. Unfortunately, it's not, it shouldn't be normal, but it's a society norm. But hopefully over time, not just with my book, but with other people coming together, I now see people, you know, starting to take the initiative, even with these infomercials that I'm seeing, you know, talking about, you know, social awareness issues and, you know, inclusion and stuff. And so that's how it starts. People who have platforms, especially in the Black community, all these superstars and celebrities using it, they need to use their platforms to talk about these issues in the community that's being played. I'm happy to see some of them, but we need more of them to do that. Right. So hopefully I answered your other question. Say, you got another one for me?
One more. I've been doing this series called World Tour and visiting and talking to Black people around the world in different countries, just interviewing about what it's like being Black in those other countries. Because, you know, it's not the same in the United States as other places. It is not. And you a person that I noted earlier that you travel to multiple countries. Tell me a story about one of the countries you've been to that's predominantly Black.
Africa. Yeah, I've been there.
Which country?
Yeah, I've been to Africa about 3-4 times already. Can't stay out of that.
So, So tell me the country and what was it like there?
Well, I'm sorry. Africa is a continent. You're right. I've been to 3 countries in Africa. Let me stop that. I can't stay out of the continent of Africa. I've been to about 3 different countries. My favorite one, I was in Kenya in 2018 and I went to the Maasai Reserve. That was one of the most memorable times. I've been to Morocco, Egypt. Kenya probably was one of the most fun times. I got to see, you know, all the different, you know, features of the, you know, the Kenyan culture, their foreheads and their ears. It's totally different. You could tell like their bone structure. That's a true African culture. And then as opposed to us, when we go back to America, we all, you know, watered down, if you will, not dissing us, if you will, but going back over there to the motherland, just seeing how they got the rich, thick roots, you know, no watered down, no mixture of nothing. That's the real African blood, if you will. I thought that was cool to see. I took pictures of that. I was really fascinated by it.
And I interviewed a young man from Haiti, and he was telling me about his visit to Kenya, and he really loved it, just like you did. You know, he was like, that's the best country I've been to in my life. I was like, wow.
I really want to go to South Africa, to Cape Town. That's really, if a lot of the times they like to pick, and it is true, you know, some parts of Africa are some of their countries are poor, but they really need to show the nice side of Africa, of how, you know, the rich black Africans live, if you will. They don't show that too often, so I wish they did. But it's some places out there that's really nice. Even in Kenya, it's not all mud huts and dirt roads. They have really nice places out there. Very civilized.
All right. You got any questions for me before we go?
Let's see. You say you've been on a world tour. So what's one of the places of people that you've interviewed from the country?
I've been
there. You name them.
Haiti, Brazil, Uganda.
No.
I haven't released Brazil yet, but I've had.
Oh, Brazil! What? You know, I have a funny story about Brazil. So I'm sitting here being in the pulse of Sagittarius as usual. In 2018, I was just on my travel book. I was just traveling left and right. And so, being impulsive, I bought a ticket to Rio de Janeiro. And on the day that I go to the airport to go there, they tell me, where your visa at? And I'm like, I don't have a visa. And so, they're like, well, you can't go to no Brazil. And so, I ended up having to go to Colombia and had a really good time there. But that I had to learn a lesson with that, just being so impulsive and not doing my whole research. And so, yeah, I had to shell out more money. But I had a really good time. I had went to Medellin and Bogota. I did the Pablo Escobar tour. I parasailed over 20,000 feet. So it was real fun. But
you have a lot of adventures.
Oh, yeah. But in any case, in closeout, thank you so much for having me on your show. I want to take this time to remind you that you're a king. You got a crown on your head and you're rocking it oh so well. Congratulations to you and all your success with your podcast. I wish you nothing but the best, and that, you know, 2-3 years from now, you know, you're going to be having number one podcast on all the podcast platforms out there. Everybody out there listening, thank you guys so much. Don't forget to get my book, What If a Controversial Paradigm Shift, is available on my website at differentworld.net, spelled differentsworld.net. You can look me up for all my other social handles, including my YouTube channel, which don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Once you do, check it out. You get all of my latest adventures and my travel excursions and all of my podcast interviews and other of my other social issues that I talk about. Like I said, my other topics and motivational speakings, you can check it out there. My Facebook, my Instagram, and Twitter as well. Again, thank you guys so much. Again, don't forget, with your mental health, make sure you keep it in order and in check. And remember, whatever it is in life that you are feeling you're destined for, you have to manifest, plan, and prepare for it, and then it will surely come to you guys. Difference World, come and learn.
Thank you. From one Sagittarius to another, thank you very much.
Thank you. We got to stick together.
All right.
All righty.
Yeah. And that is different. Part two. Look, I love podcasting. I love doing this. And I love doing it for you guys. All I ask is that you guys go leave me feedback. Let me know how you think. Let me know what you feel. If you like the show, if you like what I'm doing, if I need to change anything, if I need to change it up. I'm thinking about making some changes. I'm thinking about a lot of different things, but I want your input and your feedback. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for always coming on and checking me out. I'm doing it for you guys. Again, if you want to donate to the show, you can go to the website, buy me a coffee. If you can go to Apple Music or anywhere you listen to the podcast and leave feedback, comment, subscribe, share to your friends, share with anybody you think who may need this information or who you think might like the information. But just share it and let everybody know we're here. I'm doing it for you guys. And again, thank you. Thank you for tuning in every other week when I release an episode. And I will talk to you guys again in the next episode.